Welcome to the Sisters in Service podcast. My name is Kat Cortado, also known as the voice connecting women veterans nationwide. This podcast is for anyone connected with the military, from veterans, male and female, military spouses, military brats, even parents who may have children who are in the military. As an Air Force veteran, I understand the trials and triumphs that women veterans go through in service and out of service. And so I wanted to find a way that I could put it out there into the airwaves and let everyone know what we're going through and find a way and a solution to what's happening to us in the service. I also like to highlight these women who are business owners, they're entrepreneurs, they're bosses in their business. And so I hope that you will follow me, you will share, and you will subscribe to this podcast, which comes out every week on Tuesdays. And as always, please stay safe, take care of each other until next time, and it's never too late to start your impossible. The Sisters in Service podcast is brought to you by Small Space Pilates. Are you ready to get fit and fabulous from the comfort of your own home? Look no further than Small Space Pilates. With live online Pilates and weight training classes, a video library, and a no perfection allowed policy, you can achieve your fitness goals without ever leaving your house. Visit smallspacepilates.com for your complimentary session and start your journey to feeling fabulous today. Imagine for a moment that as a mother, you find out that your child has cancer. I want you to meet Lana Stevenson, a devoted mother and fitness professional who is always passionate about leading a healthy lifestyle. However, her world was turned upside down when she received the news that her daughter had been diagnosed with cancer. Despite the devastating news, she remained strong and committed to helping her daughter fight the disease. Her journey is an inspiring tale of resilience, hope, and unwavering love. Welcome, everyone, to another segment of the Sisters in Service podcast. I'm Kat Cortado, and my guest today is Lana Stevenson. I know you haven't heard of her, but you're going to. She's the owner of Resilience Shift, and she's a cancer exercise specialist. And we had such an amazing conversation when we met before, and we're going to speak about how she's dealing with the fact that her daughter has cancer, her why as to becoming a personal trainer and being in the fitness field, and specifically the cancer exercise specialist part of it. So, Lana, hi.
Hi, Kat. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. I'm glad that you're here. So, Lana, every time, you know, when I talk to another fitness professional, one of the things that I always ask them is, what is your why for being in, for getting into the fitness industry? For me, it was more of just a, you know, I started off teaching classes, you know, you think way back to, I'm telling my age here, high impact, low impact, step aerobics. That's where I started, y'all. And it was just a natural progression. So what is your why for becoming a personal trainer and being and staying in the fitness arena?
Yeah. So, Kat, my start in the profession was 30 plus years ago. I grew up in South Africa, and sport was such a huge part of our lives. I was always very athletic and have been competitive all my life. And then when my older daughter was born in end of 1985, we decided to emigrate because at that time apartheid was still very prevalent in South Africa, and I did not want my children raised in that society. So we emigrated to Toronto first, and that's where my younger daughter was born. And then we came to San Diego in 1995. So at that point, having come to San Diego, I had a business degree from South Africa, but I knew that's not my passion. So I wanted to get into fitness. And being a competitive marathoner at that time, my major clientele were competitive athletes, athletes driven for high level results. And that has been part of my practice for the most part, and then as well, just general fitness, keeping people healthy. But in 2014, my younger daughter was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And at that point, I was a single mom and had to really try and navigate this journey alone, which has been horrendous. And by the grace of God, she is still alive 9 years later, numerous metastases. She's on her sixth round of chemotherapy. Her journey has been very unique. Doctors are blown away by the fact that she's still alive with metastatic cancer 9 years later. And while I was going through this journey in the beginning, it was so overwhelming and scary for me. My initial thought to give back, I wrote an ebook and wrote a course for parents of adult children going through cancer, because parenting and taking care of an adult is very different than taking care of a child. There's partners to consider. There's their own free will to consider. And then I started thinking, I need to make a bigger difference. I need to help my daughter, or I need to at least know what to do if she wants my help. And so that's when I found the Cancer Excess Training Institute and became a cancer excess specialist. But with that, as that evolved, I found the company MedFit, where they are in the process of trying to connect the medical industry to the fitness industry.
Good luck with that.
It's happening. I've just got one of my clients got a prescription from one of the doctors there that she can now work out with me with this prescription. She's diabetic. And she can use her flex fund. So there's a way to do this, health savings plan, or it can be a tax deduction. So we're getting a little bit closer. So because I found this and I thought that would be incredibly useful for cancer patients too, I did a cancer excise specialist, which is kind of like, a medical excise specialist, which is kind of like a general practitioner, whereby I could train people with most chronic diseases. And then I also did the lifestyle and longevity specialty, because it kind of all works together, you know, the prevention and then working through the different stages of treatment. So, you know,
let's backtrack for just a second. So your business, Resilient Shift, focuses on movement and nutrition for chronic disease prevention. So my question to you, and maybe the audience listening would like to know, is the whole concept of when you get that diagnosis of cancer, your whole mindset shifts. Now, I've never had cancer, but this is, I've talked to people with cancer, and that's the first thing they think about is, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And then they go through, you know, the treatment, whatever that treatment is. But then afterwards, even though they recover, they don't really recover. They're afraid to move. They're afraid you're afraid of everything, and rightfully so. So tell our audience why someone with cancer, either prior to, you know, after a diagnosis and prior to surgery, or even afterwards, why movement is so important.
Absolutely. So we've had to really try and change the paradigm of even information from oncologists to the patients. And I remember 9 years ago, they told Leora, you know, rest up, don't move, like save your energy, you're going to need it for chemo, which is absolutely the wrong way to go. And Dr. Catherine Schmitz has written a whole book on why exercise. You've got to move at every point, in no matter how much or little you can do, you have to move to prevent muscle atrophy, to get your whole circulation system going, you know, and for mindset, just to know that you can still be an active person. It's huge for mindset more than anything, you know. And so it's a really difficult place for a cancer patient, because going through treatment, you're exhausted. And like I said, my daughter's on her sixth round. It's not like she's starting again. It's cumulative. The side effects are cumulative. They're nauseous. But whatever you can do, it's important. See, people have the false belief that I think 35% of Americans believe there's nothing you can do to prevent cancer, which is completely wrong. Your lifestyle can prevent. There's only 5% of cancers are due to hereditary reasons. Most of it is from our lifestyle, from our environment, and there is a lot we can do to change that. So, you know, going through cancer, and I've watched my daughter, and it was really hard in the beginning because I'm mom, and she's not doing what I feel she should.
She's not following mama's directions.
No, but this kid, but it's, for her, it's mindset, you see. And this is where I also help my clients. Like, she never saw herself as a cancer patient. Even to this day, she's working still. Even part-time, virtually, she's sixth round of chemo. It's like, I don't even know how she does it. But she just never chose to see herself as dying and a cancer patient. She she's come with a lot of complications. I mean, she's had about 12 surgeries, both the ovaries gone. She's only 33 now. She was diagnosed at 24. So,
but let's pause there for a second. Let's talk about the protocol for cancer. And I didn't really understand what chemo and radiation did to a person until I saw it for myself with my father. And those two, and I don't know which one it is. It's either chemo, the radiation, maybe it's a combination of both. It eats your muscle, literally eats your muscle. And you need muscle to fight infection. You need muscle to be able to move around so you don't feel so weak. But the radiation kills your taste buds on your tongue. And so my father used to put, you know, my father was the pickiest eater ever. And he would put hot sauce on absolutely everything just so he could feel a sensation on his tongue. So can you speak to that a little bit more for our audience?
Yeah. And not only muscle atrophy, taste buds, I mean, it can go any which way. And Leora just kept tasting metallic. From cancer. So there were things like even water tasted awful to her.
And then you don't want to eat. But you have to eat to gain weight. It's like this, it goes around in a circle.
It's really hard. But then also what happens with chemotherapy is bone loss. And that's one of the reasons exercise is so important because, she was an avid snowboarder. She cannot snowboard anymore. She dare not snowboard. Her bone density is like an old woman. You know, but if she would have changed the protocol of how she recovered or moved through it, I think we would have been able to help her. The studies are showing more and more that the recovery is much quicker, the possibility of recurrence is much less, and the mindset of just feeling like you're still part of society. Yes. You're still independent. It's maintaining your independence. And diet, it's such a tough call because she couldn't eat anything and her doctor was saying, eat anything and everything just so, you know, which is not great either because there's certain foods that are poison, like sugar, you know, poison.
Absolutely. But sometimes you have to get something in their system.
Right.
You know, when my dad was in the hospital, you know, we all know how wonderful hospital food is, right? And he wouldn't eat it. Of course, he's picky. And so I asked him, I said, Dad, if you could have anything, what would you eat? What would you want? And he said, I want a vanilla milkshake. And I go, one vanilla milkshake coming up. Yep. And so through that protocol, he started to eat some food because he was starting to feel full. He was starting to feel better. Yeah, is it the best food? No, it's not. Okay. I don't recommend that to anybody. But if it gets them to start eating a little bit, you know, eating more vegetables, eating more food that can sustain their energy, then, you know, by all means, go for it. So
absolutely.
On that note, how important is nutrition before, during, and after a cancer diagnosis?
I would say before, as we all live our healthy lives where we don't think anything's going to happen, that's when it's
right.
Specifically talking prevention.
Yes.
And especially in today's age with the chemicals that are out there that are not in our control, we can just control what's in our home. I've started now getting rid of all chemical cleaning supplies and trying my best to change what I can change. You can't change it all. Organic, you know, the pesticides are brutal. And you have to wonder, why are dogs getting cancer?
Yes.
They're not smoking. They're not drinking. They're not eating hamburgers.
No. I had a dog die from cancer. Right. I was trying so hard to keep her heart healthy because she was a Cavalier King Charles. Mm-hmm. And she died of cancer. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Right. It's the environment. And there's so many. It's mind blowing. But I was going to say something about the bone density and how we can, you know, how it plays into our well-being in future. Because if you're afraid to move, it's, you know, you kind of stop yourself. And I've watched my daughter along the way, like right now, it's I don't even know, you know, how she can ever be normal again. And I'm just grateful for every moment she's alive. But her life has been horribly devastated. And, oh, what I was going to talk about was that I was unaware. I'm so clueless as to drugs, and I'm just not a drug person. And opiates, I didn't even know what opiates, like they overprescribed so much in the beginning that my daughter's an addict. And it breaks my heart because she tried to do the right thing and go and get help and go to rehab. Once you've gone to rehab, now they're all right. We can't prescribe anymore. So this poor girl started buying off the street because, you know, she relapsed. And I had to resuscitate her twice. And so.
Oh, my goodness.
That's another place why exercise is so important, because it helps with pain. It, you know, and especially there's a new modality that I'm now using with my clients. And as a cancer exercise specialist, like the reason you would work with a cancer exercise specialist is because you have to understand what each treatment is different. Each cancer is different. Each surgery is different. So like yes. The reconstructive surgery with lymph nodes being removed, you know, they are at risk for lymphedema, which is.
For the rest of their life.
The rest of their life.
Yes.
And so you can help them understand what to look for, you know, and. There's a modality that I found in this journey called blood flow restriction training, whereby you can do half the work, half the intensity, but get the effect as if you're doing high intensity interval training, which in return helps you with your human growth hormone and nitric oxide, which is all healing, all anti-aging. So if I have a cancer patient or a patient morbidly obese, chronic disease, they can work out for 20 minutes and have the effect of as if they've done like 45 to 50 minutes of high intensity work. So, you know, as I'm moving through this process, I search for modalities that I can use that will be very effective, because I think when a person, never mind a person with disease, starts to actually see and feel the results, they get motivated. And so that's always my goal, just to get that motivation to kick in so they understand they're doing something healthy for their body.
Here's a question for you. So everyone assumes that when you get a diagnosis of cancer, that it's automatically radiation and or chemotherapy. In your opinion and in your expertise, what other modalities are there that you've seen that maybe has worked? So I'm not asking you to give medical information or medical diagnosis or anything like that. But what have you seen that's been working?
Well, there have been, I don't know if you know about the organization Optimal Health Institute. There's one in San Diego. There's one in Texas. I used to train the owner of the CEO of that business. And I went there for a week to see what they do. And it's all organic, raw eating. And I met several people there who were diagnosed with cancer, with tumors, and through organic, natural eating, they've got cured and healed. Now, that's not to say it'll work for everybody, but it's a real, real commitment. But that's one way of just eating completely clean.
Does that work for all cancers or just particular cancers? Or do you know?
I don't know if it works for all people with the same cancer, but it's something. I don't know if I would choose to try that alone. I think if I, God forbid, had a diagnosis, I would go the traditional route.
I wouldn't want to go it alone. I would want someone. Yeah. You know, I want to be on a program where someone says, okay, you can eat this and this amount and all this other stuff. I mean, I'm pretty good at following directions, but you know, when you've got medication that's messing with your brain and it's messing with your body, and now you're going to be responsible for this program of eating, I'm not sure I'd do so well
by myself. It's very difficult. You know, when Leora was first diagnosed, I hired a coach for her that was all natural eating. She couldn't hang. Leora said, I can't do this. I cannot do this. So, you know, it's each individual person's journey. I mean, honestly, Leora has done everything wrong, everything. And she looks a picture of health. She is so sick. She looks a picture of health. And for me, that's just about mindset.
So, well, let me ask you from mom to mom. So you're this fitness and health guru. You look the picture of health. What did it feel like to you as a mom to hear that your daughter had a diagnosis of cancer?
That day goes around in my head. We went to the ER. Oh, I got cold. We went to the ER. She had a really bad stomach pain. And we wanted her to get a scan to see why she was in so much pain. The doctor said, no, you're too young. Da, 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 da. She started crying. She says, I'm not leaving here until you scan. I need to know why I'm in so much pain. He reluctantly scanned her, came back 2 hours later, literally sat down next to her bed like this. It's not good. It's cancer. We're admitting you right away. I lost it. I absolutely lost it. And she was, Mom, calm down. It's going to be okay. And at that point, I kind of felt it. This child is so strong and resilient that we're going to get through this. But it took me a very long time, Kat. I'm grateful for being strong and fit. I mean, I was in the hospital with her every day, every night. I would come home and shower, try and even go for a run, maybe run to the corner and run home. But my fitness saved me through that. I have to tell you, my running, just being out there praying, it saved me. But from a mom's,
well, you were reacting as a mother.
It's the
you word. Know because you feel like you need to protect your children, even though they're not children anymore. But you feel like you're there to protect them. And when something like that happens, and you don't know how to protect them from it's scary. It's incredibly scary. And you don't know what to do. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I don't know if you know people like this, where in an emergency situation, okay, I am the coolest head on the block. Like my son had a diagnosis of he had a stroke, or they think they had a stroke. And, you know, my husband's like, how are you? How are you? And I'm like, I'm good. But after he's okay, after the situation's over, I fall to pieces.
Yeah.
Yep. I lose it. During the emergency, I'm fine. But after the emergency, I lose it.
It's hard. And that's again, you know, so not just for the patient. Like, honestly, if not for my level of fitness and what I know about health, I don't know how I would have coped. I didn't work for about 2 months. I couldn't. My head wasn't there, and I wouldn't have been of service to my clients. And I just needed to, you know, learn more about what I was dealing with, because I come from a family where my dad was an athlete, like knock on wood, no one was ill. My grandmother lived till 107. My grandfather lived till 100. It was like, we didn't deal with illness. Yeah.
So you're going to be like 114.
I know, right? I know. So, but, you know, I'm grateful, Kat. I'm grateful for the exposure and what I've had to learn. I'm grateful for every day my daughter breathes, and this is her journey, and I've learned to just let go and let God. It's like, I can't.
You can't control it.
No,
you can't control anything.
It took me a really long time.
It's hard to do, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard to do.
So hard. And I try the best I can to impart what I know without being preachy, because I do know so much. I have so much I can help her with. But, you know, if it's not your child, people are receptive. They want to learn.
Yeah, I think when my son was really ill and he was in the hospital, and my husband said, do you want to go? And I said, let his wife handle it. You know, I told her, I said, keep me in the know. You know, text me, call me. I don't care what time it is. But I didn't want to go there and take over. You know what I mean? And that's the one thing as a mom, you're just like, I want to take control. And I was like, nope, let me just back off for a second. So when you are speaking to anyone who is needing your services because they got a diagnosis of cancer or are recovering from surgery after cancer, what are some of the questions that they ask you?
I think basically they want to learn how to get strong enough to live a normal life, to prevent osteoporosis, to prevent muscle atrophy. And so what I will do is, depending on what they've had, well, on all my clients, I will do a full assessment, postural, because sometimes different surgeries or, you know.
It pulls you out of alignment.
Postural, range of motion. So if you've had like a breast, you know, you're going to, you know, so you got to address those things first. And then, you know, find out what they've been doing pre-diagnosis and build on that slowly. And I really do a very thorough, intense background, health history background. And if I feel they need a release from the physician, I will ask that, because sometimes some treatments affect the heart.
Yes.
And the patient may not know, you know, at any point if they have been. So, you know, there are so many different intricate details to each different cancer, and I won't pretend to know it all, but I have all the resources, you know. So if I got
really
some particular cancer, mm-hmm. I have all the resources to make sure that I can work with them safely.
Well, I tend to think of, you know, my cancer exercise training that I did, it's up there with my Pilates certification. I mean, it's really high up there, because this was information that I can't tell you how many times I went, oh my gosh, I didn't know that, you know?
Right.
And so when you are training someone, and I tend to think of, before they even get to the training part, that if you have to reach out to their physician and or their physical therapist, I feel like it's a team effort.
Definitely.
But the hardest thing I've been through is getting through to the physician that this is something that the client needs and wants. So what ways have you found that you've gotten through to the physician?
So I write a letter, and I really explain how this can change their lives. And you know, I think the medical industry are starting to understand that now. And I'm actually on a mission right now to promote two oncologists, my services and services of cancer excise specialists, because I think they do such a disservice to their patient by not recommending that they do that, and that they do exercise, but with someone who knows what they're doing. You know, don't say, oh, like they say to the aura, are you exercising? What are you doing? No, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
that's like saying, you know,
no direction.
I know, it doesn't make sense, you
no
know,
because
they don't know what questions to ask, because, you know, it's like, are you eating? Oh, okay. Well, I could be eating, no offense, Burger King, but, you know, I could be eating fast food or Burger King or McDonald's or something. I'm eating, but it's not very specific.
Right. And so that's my mission. And you're right. They don't get it. They really don't get it. And so I'm busy building a little marketing thing right now where I just really do want to target physicians as well as infusion centers, because they need to know it's available. And that's where I think the Medford organization comes in, because if a cancer patient comes to me and they can't afford my services, they can have an interview with a physician at Medford who can write them an excise prescription.
Oh, I love that. That's so awesome. So,
yeah. And then with that prescription, they can get their money from their flex plan, their health savings plan, or a tax deduction, which makes it a little bit easier. It's not great yet. It'd be wonderful if they could write a prescription and get that passed by, you know.
Yeah. We're still trying to get an exercise prescription for Pilates for those people that need it. You know, when they go from the doctor or surgery, you know, to their PT,
right.
And then they're like, okay, there you go. And and they're like, well, what else is there? Yeah, so there needs to be that sessions, bridge.
Right, the follow up. I've had 5 sessions with PT. That's all I can get paid. Now what?
Yes. Well, the other thing too is I find that doctors don't tell their patients the whole story. So for instance, I've worked with many women who have had breast cancer, or they've had surgery where they remove part of the breast and or the lymph nodes. And I'll say, well, did the doctor tell you, you know, that you have to do exercises to alleviate lymphedema? And they said, nope.
I never heard the word lymphedema once. Not once. She had radiation that could cause lymphedema. She's had numerous lymph nodes removed. She's had her ovaries removed, like not once ever. First time I learned what lymphedema was doing the.
I know, me too. I'd heard of it. I just didn't realize, you know, it was shocking to me that they were, you know, that you can have it for the rest of your life, especially if they take lymph nodes out. So before we go, Lana, can you speak to our audience, those who are, maybe they've got a diagnosis of cancer. Maybe they're getting over. I don't know if you get over cancer, but they've been through the hard part and then they're in the recovery part, you know, to give them some words of advice when looking for, they want to move, but they're not sure how or where to go. So give them some advice about
Absolutely.
That if you could.
You know, and I'm even starting this week with someone who through the 1, 2, 3 of me, whatever, got tested with a BRCA1 gene. Hasn't had any cancer diagnosis, but she's had a double mastectomy. She's had a full on hysterectomy. So now she's contacted me because how to prevent cancer, because she knows she's got the gene. So I think first of all, most of the cancer exercise training specialists can work virtually, but I do think that if anyone is diagnosed, they should go onto the cancer exercise training website and find a specialist in their area. And if they can't find someone in their area, then they can have a look at it, and virtual is possible, because you know, Andrea has done such a great job, the head of the Cancer Exercise Training Institute, of really educating personal trainers and even physicians. Physicians are taking her course because they want to learn how to help their patients get better. So I would definitely suggest going to either the MedFit directory or CETI directory and finding someone in their area who knows how to work with their cancer.
And so the last question is speaking directly to physicians who aren't really fully giving all the information to the patient and telling them things like you need to rest, you need to, and of course they do. Okay. I'm not going to say that they don't, but there comes a time when getting them to move, getting them to feel stronger helps their mindset. They get stronger in their mind. They get stronger in their body. What would you like to say to the physicians who might be listening about what the cancer exercise training specialist certification does for their patients?
I would absolutely bring studies forward. Dr. Catherine Schmitz, who wrote this book, Exiles Through Cancer, throughout every, this has been her baby for 20 years. She's been doing research on exercise and cancer. And I would, and this is going to be part of, this is the book, Dr. Catherine, I can't see because of the background. Dr.
Catherine, but, I was like, oh yeah, that's a little blurry.
It's called Moving Through Cancer. And
I'll make sure that's in the show notes.
Yeah. So, I mean, she has evidence. She has scientific-based studies. And so I would cite that, you know, this is going to be in my marketing material, that it's proven. They have to move.
And I will say this, is that that type of movement, when you're working with someone who knows their stuff, it makes you feel somewhat normal again, yes, like you used to be. So, Lana, tell everybody where they can find you if they want more information.
So you can find me, Resilience Shift, Health, Wellness, and Fitness. My website is resilienceshifthealth.com. And my phone number, well, it's 619-977-9858. And, you can call me or just go on my website, you know, and I would be so glad to just talk with you, to walk you through it, to help you move in the direction that would be most appropriate for you, you know.
And I think that's important. I think it's important for people listening out there to understand that we don't just start people off moving. We have to get some information. We want to talk with people first to feel their level of comfort or even discomfort or fear. And we, you know, just want to be able to say, look, I understand how you're feeling. I don't understand the cancer, but I understand the fear, because we're all scared at some point. So, Lana, thank you so much for being here today and speaking about this, because I think this is huge. Like, cancer can touch anybody and everybody at some point or time in their life. My goal is to not get it ever. And I'm doing things to, you know, ensure that maybe that doesn't happen. But thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, please stay safe. Take care of each other. Until next time. And remember, it's never too late to start your impossible.
Never.